afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentaries on today's economic and political events for Friday, October 21st, 2022. How do you do, Butch?
Hey, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
It's a beautiful day here in the hills. It's up near 70 degrees, and I'm loving it.
I know. You know, we had a beautiful day here after the past chilly day, couple of chilly days and so forth. It was a beach day today.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But I could have gone. I can't go because I'm working.
Well,
but it was a beautiful day to go to the beach. Very nice.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But those,
yeah, it's,
try for those
to enjoy
that could
it, they're
go.
Getting scarce. They're getting scarce.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, wintertime is coming.
Yeah, it is. It is. But anyway, we've had spring in the gold market. How about that?
All right.
What a segue, huh?
Yes. Well, I like
that. Yeah, we've had spring in the spot prices for gold and silver today. Gold sprung $28 at $1,657. Silver sprung 64 cents at $19.39. Platinum sprung $18 at $941. Palladium was down a little over 2%, $44 at $2,096. You have the USDX today was down. It dropped pretty significantly, 1.04 at 111.81, which is still a super strong number. But crude oil was up 68 cents at 85.19. And the Dow Jones climbed more than 700 points today as the best week since June. How about that? 31,082. The S&P was up almost 2.5%. They were up almost, all of them were up almost 2.5%. 3,752. The NASDAQ was up 244 at 10,859. Asia, Shanghai was positive by 3 points. Europe, the FTSE was stronger, but those European nations, we're all negative. 10-year yield, I bet, is 4.22%. Wow. And that was being down today. And natural gas was down over 6%. But, of course, as I mentioned, oil and Brent were higher. So that was pretty much it for the day. It seems the Treasury bond reversals, let's see what this, I didn't have a chance to see. I guess it's just that the 10-year yields fell from the highest since 2007. So there was, you know, lots of ups and downs today. U.S. central bankers said the next phase in their campaign to curb inflation will be to debate how high to raise rates and when to slow the pace of increases. This came out from the St. Louis Fed President James Bullard and, of course, his San Francisco counterpart Mary Daly. But they made it pretty clear that they do expect the discussion to be an open table on the November gathering and stressing the need to keep tightening. The story this week was all about volatility in rates, huge volatility in treasuries, and but to say overall relative to how much interest rates have moved up, and he's right. The markets did hold up pretty well. So, you know, it truly is amazing. And so that was pretty much it. So we'll see how big of a rate increase comes from their next meeting. But again, we continue to hear, we talked about this, turkeys. 75% more for turkeys this Thanksgiving. 75%.
Well, as I've shared Wednesday, 1 in 4 families not going to have a Thanksgiving dinner this year because they can't afford it. That's 25% of the people. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And those that are going to have a Thanksgiving, are they going to have a turkey? Is it going to be too? I mean, I don't know. Compare turkey. Well, it's still cheaper than probably chicken. Maybe. I don't know. But so another sign of a slower economy, U.S. container imports tumble as supply stress gives way to slack. So after more than 2 years of surging demand, the volume of container imports coming through the U.S. ports have tumbled sharply, raising questions about where a sector once tracked as a supply chain stress point will hit bottom. And another sign showing that things are not all happy in the land of Oz, Butch.
That's very, very true. And I had an article similar to that. I'm just trying to find it very quickly to share some of it because I think it's very interesting that apparently the steward bought up a lot of excess of things like TV sets and computers on the shutdown, and people quit buying it whenever they, you know, things got tough with inflation going up, different things. They quit buying I guess you call those almost like luxuries. And I just wonder what that's going to mean for this holiday season when they make most of the money. I mean, if the imports are going down, that means you're not ordering, and they're not stocking more. I just wonder if that's going to make any difference in this holiday season. I don't know. That's just in my mind. But yeah, even the trucking industry is slowing down some places. So that's not a good sign, Melody, for an economy, especially this time of year.
That's true. And I just heard a fleeting slight commentary on the railroad strike.
Oh,
that
okay.
They expect that to actually happen after the election, that they're just really holding it off through the election. So if that comes, then that's just another black swan to add to the already weird economy that we have, where we only have sections of recession. Not the whole country is not in a recession, just the housing market and maybe one or two other. That's stupid.
Well, anyway. I mean, the whole world's in recession right now, basically.
Absolutely.
And, including China.
Yep.
It's everywhere. And I don't know that, I mean, they can, of course, election's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I realize they're doing a lot of the things. I mean, Biden released some more oil from the Strategic Reserve yard to try to supposedly these gas prices, but doesn't do a thing. It's a drop in a bucket. Doesn't do a thing. I think it's totally a political move. I really do. But whether it was or wasn't, it's not going to make any difference in the price of gas. And I'm really shocked, though, that oil has not gone up more than what it already has. It's actually been up and down. It's like a yo-yo. I thought when Saudi Arabia cut back, you know, as much as it did in other parts of OPEC, the price would go up. But apparently the demand isn't great as what maybe they thought it was going to be. I don't know. But the price of gasoline is staying pretty steady right now. Same thing in your area?
Pretty much. You know, in fact, my friend is visiting me from Pennsylvania, and she said that the gasoline down here was actually a little less than where she's from in central PA. So
my PA is generally pretty high on gas prices. Yeah. I have to say that. They are. They truly are. The further you go south, the better the prices get. But, I was just surprised. Like I said, the price that went up. And there's a whole lot to talk about that happening in the world today. And I got this first article here. I thought you'd be interested because this is really happening. And it sounds like you're watching a Twilight Zone or some kind of science fiction movie. This out of Parts Smart Technology article today that's just unbelievable. Digitization is humanity's demise. The smartphonization of humanity. The QR code is everywhere. And many years ago, back in before 2000, I would not do a digital picture and driver's license. Melody, myself and a few others did not have a driver's license for over 10 years. We would not do a digital picture. And we still don't have a digital picture on the phone or a driver's license. But everybody else took it. We couldn't do it. I said, this is not right. This is a number of my face. This is the number of a man, which the Bible says is the mark of the beast is. I'm not going to give it to everybody to have it put it clear across the world. And they did. It's in Interpol now. And this article goes right along with it. Digitization is humanity's demise. It's a digital image of our face. They do a digital, of course, fingerprint, digital iris scan. But anyway, the QR code is everywhere. In some places, you can't even open a toilet door without using a QR code first downloaded on your smartphone. There is hardly a restaurant anywhere in the world, in the Western world, where its menus are not loaded onto a QR code. Screw those who do not have a smartphone or do not want to use a smartphone to be invaded by QR codes. And I've seen these now. I mean, the QR codes right on the table, and I ignored it. I don't use them. I want a menu. But I suppose menus are going to be a thing of the past pretty soon. So in some case, when you're lucky, a restaurant may offer you a temporary feature, a printed menu, where the waiter is kind enough to use his smartphone to show you the choice of meals. And I've seen them do that when I've been in restaurants. They've used their smartphone to show you the choice of meals. It's the smartphoneization of humanity. It is also the stultification or dumbing down of our minds and eventually our intelligence. It is likely the smartphone was invented to eventually deaden the brains of society because human beings tend to go for comfort, for the ways at least resistant. The smartphone offers all that. Once we have it, we get hooked. And boy, is that the truth. About 20, 30 years ago, we still lived happy with the fixed phone at home, with the phone booth at the street corner. We were not missing anything. What would eventually become a smartphone was gradually introduced as a portable telephone. First, they were the size of a brick. Then they would become smaller and smaller, so they would fit in our breast pocket or in a lady's purse. No problem. A real convenience. And, it's really seems strange. I mean, young people today don't know how to use a dial phone. They really don't. I've seen a video. They know how to use it. And you never see a payphone anywhere any longer. It's just not there. And I don't know of too many people personally that don't have a phone, a smartphone. My first phone we ever had was a portable phone. Was a bag phone. You remember those?
I do.
Yeah, I like that. Put it in the car, and had an antenna. It's a bag phone.
Well, those bag phones were satellite.
Yeah, they were. Yes.
But it cost you a fortune, though. When you had the roaming charges and so forth, they could become very expensive.
You couldn't call.
You were never shut down because it was satellite.
But things have surely changed. And I have to agree, Melanie, these smartphones, the cell phones have become a habit with people. And it kind of gets on my nerves. I mean, I go visit somebody or invite to go to somebody's for dinner or something. And the ones who are there are sitting around on their cell phones. Nobody's really talking. They're sitting on their cell phones, pecking on the phone. You go to restaurants and family sitting together having dinner, but they're not talking. They're on a cell phone. That gets on my nerves. I just don't like that. But I understand it's habit for me. I know it is. I mean, people have tripped over sidewalks and fell in ponds and everything, inside malls. They fell in those little water holes, trip over this thing because they're looking at the cell phone. I mean, that's just what it is. They are habit-forming, and they're convenient. That's the key thing. So we see that QR code being now really being part of everybody's life. And that's just the way it is. It's going to do away with anything that we now have in print. I'm afraid this is going to be another intrusion of what's left of our privacy. And retail,
I just want to say something here, and then people want to know why. Remember was it Obama who was giving free cell phones to everybody who didn't have one?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So they connected, this is so everybody could call 911. No, that wasn't it. You can call 911 on a hardline phone, and I wonder if we're still paying for the services on those phones that were given away for free. I don't know, but
Well, somebody's got to pay for it.
Everybody was connected.
But somebody's got to pay for them. They're still giving away the illegals. They say they can track them, but we know better than that.
And I've been saying this since, we went into Y2K. Y2K was very real.
Yes.
It was very real. It happened. Yes. It connected the world.
That was the whole point of it.
That was the whole point of it. Everybody had to upgrade their computers, supposedly. Everybody had to become connected, even people who had decent computers and were working just fine had to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get all new computers so they could all be wired together globally. And we paid for it.
The Y2K scare was to herd us into that chute. That's what it did. That's what it did, folks.
We were wired.
We certainly were. Retail giant Walmart outlines crypto strategy. Executives foresee a lot of disruption in payment options. Walmart chief is technology officer and chief development officer Suresh Kumar discussed cryptocurrency at Yahoo Finance's All Market Summit Tuesday. Replying to a question about the role of crypto in Walmart's future, Kumar said, "I think that there are three major areas of disruption. Crypto falls in sort of the middle of it. I have talked before about the way in which customers are getting inspired and discovering products. That is changing." He continued, part of that is going to happen in the metaverse. And by the way, you know what that word meta means in Hebrew? Dead.
Tell us.
Dead.
Yeah.
It means dead. Dead. I don't think it's coincidence. I really don't. Anyway, part of that is going to happen on live streams inside your social media app. So whether it is physical goods or virtual goods, crypto play a part in terms of whatever the customer wants. The Walmart's opinion, crypto will become an important part of how customers transact. We want to make sure that we make it as friction-free as for customers to be able to transact, to be able to buy, and how they are able to derive value out of it. We're not going down a smooth road here, folks. Cash is a last stronghold of anonymity and buying power. It's a last one. Once we go digital, everything you buy, and I'm going to prove it to you in this next article, everything you buy or sell, all the business you transact will be tracked and traced, and folks, you will be totally surveyed and surveilled 24/7 with everything you do. IMF chief says central bank digital currency should be used, now pay attention, alongside social credit system to control what people can and cannot buy. Well, what do you think about that headline? Pretty much right in their face, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, yep. And people just are ignoring it. Now, we're going to go to break in a few seconds, but I'll finish our article after the break. But this is foretelling what they planned years ago when the computers and the smartphones all come out. Folks, they knew they were going to do this. And now they're going to control what you can buy and cannot buy. And with a social credit score, they're going to decide how much money you're going to send you for to live on, too. Because if you disobey the rules, you won't get as much money to pay your bills. Pardon?
Not only the less you get to pay your bills, the less you get to eat.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, folks. This has been planned long, long ago. It took the people, it took a while to get the people lined up with it. But now that they've got a smartphone in everybody's hands, it's easily done. After the break, I'm going to finish this article. I want you to find out what their plans are for your future and my future, and even more terrible, think about our children's future. We're leaving them nothing behind in privacy.
Nope, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm not complaining because I really need to work. But hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost now. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with the co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And things are, you know, it amazes me, Butch. It really does. You know, I had someone bring me a price today to compare before we got on to, so you can finish that article. I was able to save the guy $600, and he has to think about it. And he has to think about it.
Wow.
It's he had like, to think, about, to think it? About it?
Yeah. He had to think.
He had to think about it.
Wow.
And it's like, and what was funny is that this dealer, it's an online dealer, was able to, they were charging over almost $38 for silver eagles. It's like, you got to be kidding me. My price is $36. And it's just like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with people?
Well, I got a magazine here the other day. There's over $40.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And they get the prices, obviously.
I know. I mean, who are these people who are paying those prices? Stop it. Maybe if you would stop paying those heavy, hefty premiums, maybe the price would come down. But as long as you're dishing your hard-earned money into those higher prices, guess what? They're going to go higher. They're going to test you to see how much you're going to pay for those silver eagles. So there's other alternatives out there, and I still sell a lot of silver eagles, but I still give the folks an alternative. There's something else that you can buy. And so it's the end of the year. The changeover of the dies to create the 2023s always brings pressure onto the inventories coming out of the mint, and they always put allotments on all the dealers and so forth. It's the same story year in and year. It's been going on since I've been doing this 28 years, so... Be smart when you're purchasing the silver eagles, and don't allow the sensationalism to push you into buying something when there's other alternatives to buy. Just like Butch, I hear a people, nope, I was told to buy gold eagles. Nope, I was told to buy this. It's like, well, who told you? Are they in the business? Do they know what they're talking about? You know, I mean, I could debate both sides of the coin, and it's, you know, but what's truly the reality, and what is common sense? So give us a call, 800-375-4188. And Butch, you wanted to finish up the article?
I did, because this is very telling. I mean, folks, please pay attention, because this is our future. This is what's coming down the road. This is what they intend to do. It's taken them a lot of years to get used to this idea. But people, the younger generation especially, is falling right in line, because it's going to be so convenient. The deputy managing director of the International Monetary Fund recently explained how central bank digital currencies can be programmed to determine what people are allowed to buy. Now, pay attention to the wording here. Are allowed to buy and insisted, I just kept stuck in with that word, allowed to buy and insisted they should be used alongside China-style social credit score system. Unlike cryptocurrency, which is private, central bank digital currency will be issued and controlled by the central banks themselves. In many ways, it's the same as banknotes, but that every single transaction will be monitored for compliance. He said the smart contract would allow targeted policy functions like welfare payments, consumption coupons, food stamps, etc., With the CBDCs, we can precisely control what people can and can't own. Let me repeat that. We can precisely control what people can and cannot own. Melody, how do you like that statement?
Oh, that's great.
Also, what kind of use this money can be programmed for, like food only. Let this sink in, folks. This is here. We'll all have different preference and preference on privacy, and anonymity is tricky. And he continues to say that it's worth to give up a little bit of privacy to get security. Okay, what can I add to that? I mean, they're going to control what you can and can't own. They're going to control your checks. If you're getting a check of food, whatever you're getting, they're going to control that. And they're going to control to the point by your social credit score. So if you aren't a good little citizen, you don't get your allotment for the month or get a much reduced allotment. Melody, I do believe that's pretty much control. What do you think?
Sounds like that to me.
I think, folks, you might well consider demanding that you get to use cash. I know we got paper currency. I know it's fiat. I realize that. But at least you can still use it to buy a loaf of bread without somebody knowing what you bought. Or you buy some food off somebody or use gun off somebody. Oh, yeah, I've done that. I have no qualm about that at all. I've sold guns. No qualm about it at all. I don't care who knows it. But I don't have nobody know what I paid for. It's none of their business. It's none of their business. But this will change all that, and you'll be lucky if you keep your credit score where it ought to be. Unless you do, they're going to cut back on what you get to spend it for. Wow. But on the other hand, Melody, federal tax receipts near record high share of GDP. Isn't that wonderful? The U.S. government is rolling in dough. U.S. tax receipts have surged this year. Through August, the U.S. Treasury has collected over $4.4 trillion in revenue for fiscal 2022, which has 1 month left to go. That was already 10% higher than recent receipts in 2021. The U.S. government took in $303.73 billion in August alone. That's up from 23% from August 2021. Melody, I know that has something to do with inflation. Does cause some of that, of course, obviously. I mean, that's part of it. But that's a huge amount of money to take out people having a hard time paying the bills already, is it not?
It certainly is.
I mean, they're taking in $4.4 trillion since last August. Gee. The U.S. government isn't just making windfall in absolute terms. Tax collection is at a multi-decade high, as a share of the GDP. That is up from 17.9% in fiscal year 2021. It's approaching the last peak of 20%. Set during the dot-com bubble in year 2000. Gee, man, it just keeps right on going. The hits keep on coming. And this should make us stop and think. Somebody's prospering out of this inflation. I wonder who that would be.
Three guesses.
Oh, gosh. And they say they want to cut it. That's why they're raising interest rates. They want to get inflation lowered. Well, maybe that's true, partly true anyway, but I'm going to have my doubts. Now, this, I think everybody knows. This is from Michael Snyder, a good article. No, it's from the Economic Collapse. Sorry about that. It's Michael Snyder, isn't it? Okay. The middle class is dying. 50% of all American workers made less than $3,133 a month last year. I can remember, Melly, when $1,000 a month is good money. I can remember that real well. Back in the 60s, that was good money. Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, $3,100 is still not enough to make it. And folks, this isn't because the products got less available. It's because the dollar dropped in value that much. But anyway, inflation systematically destroying our standard of living, and the middle class is shrinking a little bit more with each passing day. The Social Security Administration just released their wage statistics for 2021, and the numbers that they have given us are quite stunning. Now, folks, this is a year ago now, mind you. As you will see, half of all American workers made less than $31.33 a month last year. Once upon a time, you could have a very comfortable middle-class lifestyle at $31.33 a month. But thanks to inflation, such a wage now puts you just barely above the poverty level. The decisions that our leaders have been making are absolutely eviscerating the middle class, and that should deeply trouble all of us. You can find a new Social Security, it goes where to find it there. But anyway, that folks, when I first got married, the best paying job I found right away was $450 a month salary. I was tickled to get it because Marsha and I could eat on $10 a month, $10 a week on groceries. We could buy a gallon of gas 25 cents. I mean, a gallon of milk was about the same. 12 loaves of bread for a dollar. Something's changed since then. $450 now will barely buy a grocery for 2 weeks if you have a family. And that's really the truth in the Millie.
It is true, very much so.
More than 30% of all American workers made less than $20,000 last year. 30%. 41% of all Americans made less than $30,000 last year. Yeah, get that right. Okay, I'm sorry, one more time. 41% made less than $30,000 last year. 52% of all Americans made less than $40,000 last year. And 62% made less than $50,000 last year. These numbers tell us that most Americans are just barely scraping by, but our leaders want us to buy into the illusion that people are doing well these days. Of course, that isn't even close to the truth. According to the Social Security Administration, the median wage of 2021 was $37,586.03. By definition, 50% of wage earners had net compensation less than or equal to the median wage, which is estimated $37,586.03. If we were still living in 1980, that would be fine. But we aren't in 1980 anymore. There we are. Folks, think about it. Just, I know sometimes you get tired of hearing this, but just think about it and what has happened to, if you lived through the 70s, and I did, and you watched the dollar shrink and shrink and shrink in value. They print more and more and more. You're making more money. You're making more money, but it's not worth as much as it was back in 1970. You're making more, but it doesn't go as far. Back when $1 buy 12 loaves of bread. I remember that, folks. You can buy 12 lunch cakes for a dollar. How many loaves of bread a day, Mel, do you get for a dollar?
How many?
Yeah.
I need to do some fuzzy math.
Yeah, it'd be real fuzzy. You can't buy one
yes,
for a dollar.
It would be.
You can't buy one lunch cake for a dollar. We could buy 12 lunch cakes for a pack in a bucket back in the days for a dollar. So, folks, yeah, I'm making, so you're making 10 times more than you were back then.
Yeah.
You're still making less in real earnings. Melly, is that pretty clear? Did I make that clear enough?
I think it's pretty clear.
So we look like we're prospering on paper. But, hell well. Aid to New York mayor admits a migrant crisis is destroying the city. Top aide to New York Mayor Eric Adams, Chris Ball, B-A-U-G-H, is recorded on video by Project Veritas discussing the consequences of the Texas migrant strategy. Ball admits that New York is broke, with an anticipated $10 billion budget deficit by 2026, now that federal COVID money has finally dried up. This is also for the confirmation COVID stimulus has been keeping the blue state's economies alive. To his credit, his observations on the migrant buses to New York City from Texas are correct. The city is being crushed by its own sanctuary laws and right to shelter laws, not Republicans and their buses. That's so the buses didn't do it, folks. That's rage right. New York said city sinister told us, we'll take care of them. Now they're crying about it. But I also missed that the housing situation for incoming migrants is a joke and not as comprehensive as the media initially led the public to believe. New York could in fact repeal these laws at any time, as the aide notes, but they will not. First and foremost, because this would be admitting that leftist socialist policies are a failure. Second, because many of the leftists in the city government would quit if the government backed out of said policies. In other words, the leftists in New York are their own worst poison. And that's absolutely right on the money. Any comments, Melody, on that?
No, none at all.
Nope. I mean, they just said it. They're killing themselves. They're destroying the city. And they blame it on somebody sends them a busload of illegals. But they said send them. We're sanctuary city. We'll feed them. We'll clothe them. We'll house them. But now they're going to be $10 billion in the red. a couple of years from now because of this. But listen. D.C. Democrats ready planned allowing 50,000 illegal aliens to vote. Wow. A Democrat-controlled Washington, D.C. City Council is ready to allow 50,000 foreign nationals, including illegal aliens, to vote in local elections. This week, the D.C. City Council voted unanimously to give voting rights. I said voted unanimously, folks, to give voting rights to foreign nationals, including newly arrived illegal aliens, for local school board and mayoral elections. The plan now heads to D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's desk, where she's expected to sign it. In a total, about 50,000 foreign nationals and illegal aliens could be eligible to vote in local elections across D.C. if the measure is not thrown out by Congress before taking effect. The law is so expansive that the thousands of border crossers and illegal aliens sent to D.C. from Texas on migrant buses in recent months will be eligible to vote in local elections if they stay in the city.
Wow.
Melody, how about everyone that will say fought to keep this ability to elect leaders, and now we're throwing it up in a trash can and let people come in without any vested interest in this country at all except to live off of us, vote?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this whole world is just so upside down, and there's so many, and it's even more shocking that so many people go along with it and think it's great, and it's just like, are you kidding me? Have you seen these tents that they're building in New York?
Yeah.
For the immigrants?
Yeah. And it's costing New York City millions of dollars a month just to keep those tents up and running.
Yep.
And when I say New York City, I mean the people in New York City. And the only way they're going to be able to pay for it is raise taxes. And the Fed's already making record amounts in taxes. And the city's going to make record amounts to get themselves out of debt. But you see, like the article said, these leftists, they call them socialists, will not change the laws because that would admit they've been wrong all this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there we sit. There's the poor people in New York. I would like to think that most of them see through this and realize they're being taken, but maybe not. Maybe they've been some brainwashed by the people, by their leaders. They think it's okay. After the break, we're going to find out what the French want to do with illegals. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they changed their mind.
Yeah.
They don't want them. But you know, they learned a lot quicker than we have. They've learned really quick. We haven't learned yet as a whole. I mean, the states along the border have learned a long time ago. But American people are more gullible, maybe. I know we're getting ready to go to break. Melody, go ahead.
Yes, we are. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, heading into the last segment of the program today. And, you know, it's we talk so many times about these stories, Butch, but they don't ever go away. They don't ever get better.
No,
they only
don't.
Continue to worsen. And it's and this is where we're at in this nation, because no one addresses any issues. And I don't think the elections are going to cure anything.
They're
it's not
going to
fix anything.
No,
not
they're
a
not.
Thing.
They haven't
not
done it in my
thing.
Lifetime anyway. Not my lifetime. No, they
nope.
haven't.
Agreed. So
very few exceptions. Very few. And never on the federal level. It's been on maybe state or local levels, but never on the federal level.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is we finally get the Roe v. Wade overturned, but yet we still have our federal government bypassing it and just ignoring what the justices decided.
Yeah, that's true.
They just ignore it. Was it the Pentagon I read where they're going to continue?
Yes.
They're going to pay?
They'll pay, yes. Yes, they are. With our tax dollars, by the
With
way.
With our tax dollars.
Yep.
It's like, hey, let them go get their own. They still can get them if they want them.
It's not, I don't want to pay for it myself.
No. No. So,
but that's what you have when you live in a free country.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, talking about illegals, majority of French want all illegals placed in deportation centers. I like that. As many as 6 in 10 of French people would support placing every single illegal immigrant in France into a detention facility until they can be deported, which amounts to many 700,000 people. They're already fed up with the folks. I mean, that's just the way it is. The older the population, the more they want to see it happen, according to the article here. They're tired of it. They see what's happening, what's costing the country, what's costing even the crime and different things happening. Folks, illegal means illegal, period. And then you look at it any way you want to. Normally, somebody does something illegal, he's punished for it, not rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm.
So people 25 and above... Are wanting to get rid of them, and 65 and older, they say 71% of people are sending you 65 and older, want those people out. Not because it's like people, that's not the point. They're illegal, and they're feeding off the people and causing crime to increase. That's happening. That's even happening here in West Virginia, folks, and we don't have a lot of call here for illegals come here because we don't have a lot of benefits for illegal. They still commit crime, drug crimes and everything else. That's just the way it is. Now, I guess you say, Melly, this is something we should be proud of. Pfizer plans to hike price of U.S. COVID vaccine by 400%.
Thank goodness Biden passed the bill so they could start negotiating better prices for folks.
You know,
it would have been 900%.
Maybe more, yeah. Pfizer is looking to raise the price of COVID-19 vaccine in the United States up to four times once Washington purchase program ends, according to comes to U.S. President Angela Lucan. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is presently provided free for all Americans by the U.S. government next year. When the U.S. public health emergency expires, the COVID-19 vaccine market will move to private insurance. The federal government is paying roughly $30 per dose for the Pfizer vaccine. When the government purchase program is shut down, Lucan expects the dose to be priced by $110 to $130. We are confident that the U.S. price point of COVID-19 vaccine reflects its overall cost effectiveness and ensures the price will not be a barrier for access for patients, Lucan said. So, I'll never get it. But hey, if they raise the price, maybe less people will be able to afford to get it, and maybe won't poison themselves with it. But I wouldn't call that greed, though. Of course not. That's not greed. That's for our own good somewhere. I'm just not reading it quite right. That's got to be for our own good. These people love us, I think. Comments, Melody?
Nope.
And the U.S. dollar is doing very well right now compared to the world. Now, it's not doing well, really well at all when compared to real money, but compared to the other basket of fiat currencies, it's doing okay. Bad situation. Soaring U.S. dollar spreads pain worldwide. The cost of living in Cairo has soared so much that security guard Mustafa Kamal had to send his wife and year-old daughter to live with his parents in a building 70 miles south of the Egyptian capital to save money. Kamal, 28, stayed behind, working two jobs, sharing an apartment with other young people, and eliminating meat from his diet. The price of everything is being doubled, he said. There was no alternative. Around the world, people are sharing Kamal's pain and frustration. An auto parts dealer in Nairobi, a seller of baby clothes in Istanbul, and a wine importer in Manchester, England, had the same complaint. A certain U.S. dollar makes their local currencies weaker, contributing to skyrocketing prices for everyday goods and services. This is compounding financial distress at a time when families are already facing food and energy crunches tied to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. A stronger dollar makes a bad situation worse than the rest of the world, says Eswar Prasad, a professor of trade policy at Cornell University. Many economists worry that the sharp rise of the dollar is increasing the likelihood of a global recession sometime next year. Folks, we're in a global recession already. We don't need to wait. It's already here. The dollar is up 18% this year, and last month it hit a 20-year high, according to the benchmark ICE U.S. Dollar Index, which measures the dollar against a basket of key currencies. So the dollar is causing stress in other countries, and they expect a global recession. If they're waiting for a recession to start, they missed it. The start line was a long time ago. It started already. And it's just nothing that... I've always, in the past, Melody, before I started looking at different things, understand more about finances and fiat currencies and all that, I always thought the stronger dollar, well, it is better for Americans. But it didn't dawn on me that it was hurting other nations. But it makes sense.
And it does.
And they said that because the Fed's raising interest rates to slow inflation, that's why the dollar's stronger. It could be. I don't know if that is just given a false hope that they can slow this thing down and turn things around. But the dollar, they said that's the reason, because they're going to raise them again. What, I think it's the third next month when they meet again, I believe it is.
Yeah, it is.
They'll probably raise it another 0.75, I think they said. An election, what day's election next month? Somewhere around that 7th or 8th?
Yes.
I do believe.
The 6th.
So they I guess they're trying to think they possibly can to make things look good for election. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't see higher interest rates. I don't think it's going to be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish this time. Inflation back down to 2%. I don't see it happening. It's much higher than 8 or 9% already. They're not telling us the whole story, obviously.
I stand corrected.
Okay.
I was thinking of January 6th.
Oh, okay. That's okay. And you think it's bad here, UK is, oh my, they're having a time. We all know the trust stepped down, of course. Next British leader faces same old bleak outlook. After weeks of political chaos, a new UK leader could bring some much-needed stability for the country's financial markets. But for investors, the bright picture won't change anytime soon. The UK economic outlook remains bleak. Domestic-focused shares like home builders, banks, and retailers all rallied after Liz Truss said she will quit as Prime Minister on Thursday, but gains were quickly trimmed. The FTSE 250 index, which makes it about half the sales in Britain, ended the session up 0.8%. No matter who enters Downing Street next, to be a front-runner Rishi Sunak or even Truss's predecessor, Boris Johnson, British companies are facing an economy being pushed into recession by surging inflation and interest rates. That's unlikely to change anytime soon. I wouldn't expect UK equities to have a significant bounce, said Peter Chatwell, head of the Global Marco Strategies trading at Muzzo International. We are on the wrong side of a deep and painful recession. And it looks like Johnson has a good chance of getting back in, but I thought they just got rid of him because he wasn't doing a good job. So they get rid of him, Truss got in, and I thought she had some good ideas, but apparently it didn't work out for her. She's out. So maybe they're going to reinstate Johnson. I don't know. You ain't coming, not building?
No, I don't. It's the same old, you know. but it's a good thing that she's stepping down because obviously she can't handle herself. So they're probably good for getting her out, or she's got some skeleton in there.
I guess, but Johnson may come back in. Did they just get rid of him?
Because
he wasn't doing things right. So he's running again. I mean, is a worse one before this worser one is running again and may take over. How bad are things when you put the worst one back in again? I know the second one's worse than the first one, but let's put the less bad one in. Is that what you're doing?
Who knows what they're doing?
I mean, think about that. They're putting the lesser of the bad ones in there. Maybe. We'll see. It isn't funny. I know it isn't, but it's just the whole world's looking like it's going nuts. The whole world. Germany could run out of gas by February. Must cut consumption by up to 30%. Folks, this is for real people, real time. I don't live in Germany. But people live over in Germany. They have children. They have plans. They have families trying to take care of themselves. It's not looking good for Germany. Germany could be completely out of gas by February, the country's gas agency has said, with some experts saying that the country needs to cut consumption by 30% to make it through the crisis intact. Germans are, of course, now putting in wood burners, wood stoves, going back to wood as they did 150 years ago. I mean, they're going back into something that they have to rely on. And, folks, that is something I think a lot of people ever think about in this country. You better have some kind of backup heat. I'm not calling my propane not a backup heat. It can be for a while, but if there's no natural gas, there'll be no propane, really. If there's no oil, I mean, that's just, you better have backup heat. A reduction in gas consumption of 30% may be required if Germany wants to make it through the coming winter intact. Some experts have claimed, while the country's gas agency has expressed concern that the nation could run out of hydrocarbon by February. Despite such a warning, echoing that made by the country's economic and climate minister, Robert Habeck, earlier this month, the country's chancellor seemed to have denied such reality, telling European Parliament earlier today that Germany is well prepared for the coming winter. According to a report by DeWalt, Germany's federal network agency, the watchdog in charge of regulating gas and electricity in the country, has confirmed that there is a distinct possibility that Germany will run out of gas before the winter is out. I think they better look at some kind of alternative, Melody. What do you think?
Well, you think, but, you know, also the citizens over there need to be doing things. I hope they're planning in case,
that's what
you know,
I'm saying.
That
happens. Yeah. I mean, it's really up to you when it comes down to taking care of your family. I mean, you can't depend on anybody else. It's up to me to make sure that we got heat in this house where I live, and I made sure of that. And I'm not bragging. I just have.
But you know what? It's kind of like even the Ukrainians. We knew for sure that he was going to invade.
Yes.
But they just looked at it from their fearless leader, Zelensky. He was laughing about it and think it wasn't going to happen. So look at the harm that the citizens endured because of that.
Yep, I agree.
You know, and so it's the same thing. You know, they know that there's a possibility of running out of fuel for the winter. So, but people have become so dependent on the governments to take care of everything.
Yes, they have. They have. So then he calls on West to warn Russia not to blow up a dam. Said if they did, it would wipe out a whole southern part of one of the sections of the country that they took back, that Moscow took back. So this is another thing coming down. I mean, this could be catastrophic, he said, if this dam blowing up. And the Russia's saying that the Kiev's trying to do it. Kiev's saying Russia's trying to do it. So we'll see what happens on that. But I do want to get a good little short story in here and close this thing with. But, folks, the world absolutely is unstable to say that's an understatement, but it's just the way it is. Prepare yourself. Please prepare yourself. As best you can, prepare yourself. This article is entitled Ring of Good Deeds. As Sarah Darling of Kansas City, Missouri, dropped some change in a homeless man's cup, she didn't realize her engagement ring fell in too. When Billy Ray Harris, the man holding the cup, found the ring later, he got it praised. Was offered $4,000 on the spot, Melody. A homeless man now offered $4,000. Instead of selling it, though, he saved it for Darling, who came back the next day. To thank Harris, Darling and her husband set up a crowdfunding page to raise $1,000 for him. But donors went above and beyond, giving more than $190,000 to Harris. Wow. The money helped him make a down payment on a house and buy a car. The media attention helped him reunite with his family, who hadn't seen him in 16 years. How's that for good news?
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Uh-huh.
The man could have made $4,000 on the spot. He chose to be honest and do the honorable thing, and he got $190,000 instead and a home and reunite with his family.
Wow.
Folks, thank God that people tell you, man, this gentleman was homeless. He was hungry, sitting on the street begging for something to eat. But he didn't take advantage of a woman's misfortune. That is a phenomenal thing. Do what's right. Even if you don't get reward out of it, your conscience won't bother you. Do what's right. All right, Melody, you can wrap it up.
Oh, you gave me 30 seconds.
I did.
Oh, I'm not used to that, Butch. You know, you usually go on a little bit longer than that. But let's tell the folks, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188 for discount gold and silver trading. And, you know, I just want to wish everyone a great weekend and to be safe out there. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.